For concurrence, House Bill 169, the clerk will read.
House Bill 169, restore state claim for wrongful discharge.
Senator Berger, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this conference report does what the title says, and it basically creates a one-year statute of limitations for claims of wrongful discharge under state law. Urge your support.
Is there further discussion or further debate? Hearing none, the question before the
Mr.
body.
Mr. President,
for what purpose do you rise?
Ask Senator Berger a question.
Senator Berger, do you yield?
Yes.
Senator McKissick, go ahead.
Yeah. Senator Berger, could you restate once again? I was looking at another document when you were providing your explanation of the conference report in terms of precisely what it does. I think you indicated that it would provide a one-year statute of limitations for a wrongful discharge claim?
Correct.
And could I follow up, Mr. Kerr?
Follow up.
Is that any type of wrongful discharge claims, or are there parameters or limitations around the type of wrongful discharge claim that would be involved?
Senator McKissick, the conference report does two things. Line 11 on the first page strikes language in GS 143-422.3 that's pretty clear. The language stricken says this article does not create and shall not be construed to create or support a statutory or common law private right of action, and no person may bring any civil action based upon the public policy expressed herein. That language is stricken. And in GS 1-54, it adds a subparagraph 12 that says, and that's the one-year statute of limitations portion. On the second page, line 26, adds a subparagraph 12 that creates a one-year statute of limitations for wrongful discharge in violation of the public policy set forth in GS 143-422.2. That's all it does.
Follow-up, Mr.
Senator Berger, do you yield?
Yes.
This would appear to cure the language that was in HB 2 as it relates to that issue. I'm not looking at it right now, but would that be fair to say in terms of your understanding or characterization of that particular language?
Senator McKissick, the bill is on the dashboard. It does exactly what I said it does.
Further discussion, further debate. Senator Jackson from Mecklenburg, what purpose do you rise?
Speak to the conference report.
Before you get started, Senator McKissick, your microphone is still on. Senator Jackson, you have the floor.
If this is the only step we take to repeal HB 2 before we adjourn, it is going to cost our state hundreds of millions of dollars.
Further discussion, further debate.
Mr. President.
Senator McKissick.
Speak on the bill. Conference report.
Senator McKissick, you can speak on the conference report for the second time.
Sure. I think actually the first time was a question. But in any case, I mean, it does appear, based upon the language that I see here, that it is a fairly narrow scope in terms of restoring this state tort claim for wrongful discharge. It certainly appears, based upon the language that I'm seeing here now, to establish this one-year statute of limitation. This is certainly not a cure for anything that occurred in HB 2. I think what it does attempt to do is to reinstate a right or claim that existed previously that should never have been eliminated. So to that extent, I feel comfortable with it, but at the same time, it should not be construed nor viewed addressing HB 2 in its totality. I think it addresses a narrow issue that should never have been a part of the bill from the outset. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate.
Mr. President.
Senator Blue, for what purpose do you rise?
Will Senator Berger yield for a question?
Senator Berger, will you yield?
Yes.
Senator Berger, I see exactly what you're trying to do, but the case that gave rise to an action for a wrongful discharge in North Carolina in violation of the public policy of the state was a whistleblower case, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm wondering, it wasn't a direct employment discrimination case, but I'm wondering, in the way that this is worded in Section 1A, where it relates to just discrimination relating to Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, as that has been transferred to the Human Relations Council in North Carolina as the authority to take the place of the EEOC. I'm wondering, are we capturing the same kinds of action that you can bring a tort, that you could bring a tort claim in North Carolina for prior to March 23rd? And that's, I haven't had time to digest it enough, but it seems like this is narrow if it's just relating to employment discrimination itself.
Senator Blue, from the conversations I had earlier on with lawyers, it struck me that there were some lawyers who said that that claim you discuss never existed, and some lawyers who claimed that it did. And we spent a good bit of time asking attorneys to bring us an example of one that was filed that was not appended to a claim that was also being adjudicated through the EEOC, and we never saw one. So what I would say is that the conference report does what the language says, and I guess the lawyers will have to argue about the question that you're asking.
One final question, if the gentleman would yield.
Sure.
Senator Berger yields.
I do. Yeah, I'm sure that it was because it was a case involving a hospital, and I think there were in some kind of investigation, and one of the employees basically told how they conducted the investigation and was fired. That's what gave rise, or at least what created the first case 30 or so years ago in North Carolina that gave rise to this common law claim for wrongful discharge in violation of the public policy of the state. And so my question, though, is if that is in fact the case, is there an intention to restore the law to the status that it had prior to March 23rd,
Senator Blue, I'm sorry. As I've aged, it's difficult for me to listen out of both ears to different conversations at the same time. So if you could repeat the question, I would appreciate it.
My question was, as I recall, and again, it's been a long time since I looked at these, as I recall, the first case giving rise to a common law cause of action in North Carolina for wrongful discharge was a case involving a whistleblower who had witnessed some wrong conduct, I think maybe in a medical setting, and testified contrary to what she was supposed to testify to in court. And the case, I think this is the case, and the court determined that the public policy of the state was for people to testify truthfully, and consequently her being fired violated the public policy of the state, and there was a tort cause of action where she could recover for her wrongful termination as a result of the state's public policy. And in looking at this formulation, it seems that it just covers employment discrimination as is covered by the Equal Employment Opportunity Act? That was my question. And again, I'm not, and I don't profess to be an expert in this area.
I believe the answer to your question is yes. This is focused solely on wrongful termination. Does not go to the public policy issue that was decided in the two cases, as I understand it, one a Court of Appeals case and the other a Supreme Court case.
Further discussion, further debate.
Chair, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Van Dyne, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Could I ask Senator Berger a question?
Senator Berger, do you yield?
Yes.
Senator Berger, a one-year statute of limitations seems narrow to me. Is this typical for this kind of legislation?
EEOC is 180 days.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator McKissick, for what purpose do you rise?
See if I could ask Senator Berger a question.
Senator Berger, do you yield?
Certainly.
Senator Berger, since we're just seeing this now, would it be possible for us to recess for, say, a half hour and have access to staff so we can review this and clarify any issues that may be cloudy in the minds of those of us who haven't seen this before?
Senator McKissick, I don't believe so.
Further discussion, further debate?
Mr. President?
Senator Bryan, for what purpose do you rise?
To ask Senator Berger a question.
Senator Berger, do you yield?
Yes.
Senator Berger, my understanding of the wrongful discharge tort that was the common law tort, that it was based on the public policy of the state, which was why the language was put in that the public policy now was not creating a cause of action. And the change in HB2 to the public policy of the state was to put the word biological in front of sex, which sex standing alone, at least by EEOC, I believe, had been interpreted and expanded to include sex as in gender, sexual orientation, and gender identity. So it would seem to me that even as we withdraw the stricken language in HB2, but by the addition of biological sex in the public policy, that we are narrowing whatever the tort would be based on the public policy of the state from what it was prior to HB2. Would that be accurate?
I don't believe so, Senator Bryant. As one of those who does not concede that the tort existed to begin with, I don't think that creating the state-level claim actually is a narrowing.
One follow-up.
Yes.
Does the one-year statute of limitations run from the date of the discharge?
Like all torts, it runs from the date of the tort.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. Hearing none, the question before the body is the adoption of the conference report for House Bill 169. All in favor will vote aye. All opposed will vote no. 5 seconds will be allowed for voting, and the clerk will record the vote. Rucho, aye. Apodaca has an excused absence. 26 having voted aye and 14 having voted no. The conference report for House Bill 169 is adopted, and the House will be so notified.